As for what we say when we forget to say Bismillah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is reported that he said, on the authority of our mother, Aisha radiallahu anha, in an authentic hadith transmitted by Tirmidhi wa Abu Dawood, إِذَا أَكَلَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَنَسِيَ أَنْ يَذْكُرَ اللَّهَ عَلَى طَعَامِهِ فَلْيَقُلْ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ أَوَّلَهُ وَآخِرَهُ وَآخِرَهُ. He said, when one of you eats and forgets to mention Bismillah, the name of Allah, over his food, he should say, before he finishes the food, while he's still eating or drinking, in the name of Allah at the beginning and at the end of it. In the name of Allah, in the beginning of it and at the end of it. We have another hadith. There's another hadith that the authenticity of it is not clear in my mind. It's not clear in my mind. Inshallah, it is authentic. Inshallah. Is at least Hasan li ghayrihi, as we say in the science of hadith. Inshallah. And this hadith is on the authority of Umayyah ibn Makhshi radiallahu anhu, who said, كان رجل يأكل فلم يسمي حتى لم يبقى من طعامه إلا لقمة فلما رفعها إلى فيه قال بسم الله أوله وآخره فضحك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ثم قال ما زال الشيطان يأكل معه فلما ذكر اسم الله استقاء ما في بطنه. And this hadith says that there was a man who was eating and didn't say Bismillah, and he hadn't some food still remained. It was only a little bit of food, a morsel of food that still remained while the man was eating. And when he was about to raise it to his mouth, the man said Bismillah in the beginning and in its end. So the Prophet started laughing, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet then said, according to this hadith, if it is authentic, that Shaitan continued to eat with him until he said the name of Allah. And when he said the name of Allah, Shaitan threw up what was in his stomach. In other words, Shaitan threw up what was in Shaitan's stomach when the man mentioned the name of Allah. All the food that Shaitan was eating with the man, when the man said Bismillah in the middle of while he was eating, the Shaitan threw all the food up that he was eating with the man, because the man didn't say Bismillah in the beginning. Allahu Akbar. So let's not forget to call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and mention his name. Now, we have one more thing to mention, and inshallah we'll end it. We'll end it. Inshallah. Bismillah awwalahu wa akhirahu. Yeah, there's another narration. Yeah, it's another narration. Okay, this is some of the things we want to just mention in brief, pertaining to the eating and the drinking. Pertaining to the eating and the drinking. Inshallah. Firstly, which we mentioned the other day, is that the person finds his food and drink which is healthy and is delicious. His food, his drink is healthy and delicious. That he remembers that he's doing it to strengthen his body, to praise Allah and to worship Allah. And he should have the intention for that, and that can be actually number two. If he can, he should wash his hands before eating. And this is not from the sunnah directly to wash your hands before eating. But this is a good practice, because we don't know what has been on our hands. Also, to put the food in a manner that is not like on the table. It's permissible to eat on the floor. And this is more humbler, believe it or not. And I've found through the years that I feel uncomfortable now eating on a table. I actually feel uncomfortable. I go to Muslims' homes, and then we're not saying it's haram, and we're not saying it's makruh. We're just saying that it seems to be more humble, it has a more humbling effect when you eat on the floor. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never ate on a dining table or on a platter. Ever. Never. And they were available at that time. I forgot what you call it, but you know, like a tray. Yeah, it's a tray. Like he would take it off and put it on a mat. Because he didn't want to be like the people who were arrogant and proud in the other nations. Like in Persia and Rome, they do things like this. Come with gold and silver in these trays and these big platters, you know, and it causes something to the person's heart. Also, if it's possible to sit in a humble state, that the person, he or she, should kneel on their knees or sit on the back of their feet or erect their right foot and sit on their left foot, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to say, la akilun muttaki'an innama ana 'abdun akilun kama ya'kulu al-'abdu wa ajlisu kama yajlisu al-'abd. This hadith is collected by Abu Dawood in the Tirmidhi and it's authentic inshallah. He said, I don't eat while I'm leaning, and I am a slave, and I eat as slaves, and I eat as a slave, and I sit as a slave. We should also be satisfied with the existing food and don't find any fault in it. And if we find fault, if we like it, we eat it. And if we don't, also we should try to eat with people and not by ourselves. And it's not haram to eat by yourself, but it's good to have guests over your home and to eat with your family or with your children, or for those of you who have maids, servants, or whatever, you can eat with your servants. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best about those who have those things. Also, we should begin in the name of Allah, we should end with the praise of Allah, and if we can, we should eat with three fingers and try not to eat a lot and chew it in a good manner. Chew it in a good manner, inshallah. Of course, we should also eat with the right hand and drink with the right hand, and not eat with the left hand and drink with the left hand, because the shaitan eats and drinks with his left hand. We should also lick our fingers and don't be embarrassed in front of the kuffar. There's a narration, I doubt the authenticity of it, but the meaning of it is I love the meaning of it, but I don't know if it's authentic. It says that Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu one day was eating, and some food dropped on the ground, and some of the Muslims were with him, and he was standing in front of some of the pagan Persian people, and he went to pick it up, and some of the Muslims said to him, according to this narration, that, don't do that, you know, people are going to think we're barbaric, that we're uncouth, we don't have any civilization. He said, do you want me to forsake and give up the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah for these ignorant pagans? And he picked it up, brushed it off, and he ate it. Allah knows best if it's true or not, but definitely it's a nice practice, because khairul hadi hadi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best of guidance is the guidance of Muhammad, no doubt about it. Also, we should not blow in our hot food, and you shouldn't blow in your children's food, no matter how small they are, because they'll pick up this bad habit. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has not made it makruh to blow in your food. It is forbidden to blow in your food. It's not makruh, it's haram. If you look at the wording that the Prophet used sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the wording suggests that it's not permissible to blow in your food. Let it cool off, be patient, and let Allah's air cool it off. Nor should you blow in the water vessel that you're drinking from, the tea or whatever, and let the air from the outside cool off your drink, your food or your drink. We should also not eat from the middle of the plate or the tray. We should eat from that which is closest to us, around the edges, around the outside of the tray or the food. And also, we should not fill our bellies with more than what is a third. We should leave one third for food, one third for drink, for the liquid, and one third for air. This is the instruction of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what we used to do, or what we do at home, in teaching the children, when we're instructing the children in the homeschool, we take the plate and divide it and make little signs on it. Food, one third, liquid, one third, air, one third. So when the children eat it, they look at it, they say that's all they can eat. So when that one third, when they finish eating the food, it's sectioned off, like a little three sections, and they look at the food and they see that one third there. So they know that's it. They have to stop. And the children will say, oh, so you have one third left for the air. And then, you know, they have one third for food, one third for drink. That's how we train them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And of course, after we eat, we should make the dua that the Prophet ﷺ has told us to make. And that dua is Alhamdulillah alladhi saqani wa at'amani wa saqani wa ja'alni Alhamdulillah alladhi at'amani wa razaqnihi min ghayri hawlin minni wa la quwwa. Whoever makes this dua, the Prophet ﷺ said, all their past sins is forgiven. As for the dua, it says Alhamdulillah alladhi at'amana wa saqana wa ja'alna min al-muslimin. This hadith is not authentic. It's not an authentic hadith from the Prophet ﷺ. Praise be to Allah, has fed me and given me drink and has made us Muslims. This hadith is not authentic. And with that, inshallah, it's 7:48. If there are any questions about this, this may have been a boring class for most of us, but this is one thing that Shaitan, as we mentioned in the very beginning, he loves to catch us with as much as he can catch us. And we have, don't forget the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that Shaitan is with us at everything that we do. So don't take this as a boring class, inshallah. Remember that eating and drinking is very important. And inshallah, we're going to continue next week if there's no questions. The jam of any of the fruits are okay to eat, but we should try our best to eat the organically grown fruits and that jam from that. And we should try not to eat jams. We're not saying these things are haram now. I'm not saying it's haram. But we should try to stay away from those jams that have red dye number six or eight or 40, yellow dye in them to make the color. We should try to stay away from, inshallah, if we can, from sugar, processed sugar that's placed inside the jam. If the jam is sweetened naturally by honey, this is better for us, for sure. Because honey is a purifier. As the man who had a problem with his stomach, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet said, eat honey. The man ate the honey and came back and said, it didn't work. The Prophet said, eat honey. The man came back again and said, it didn't work. The Prophet said, eat honey because it's a cure for everything. It's a cure for your stomach. The man said, it didn't work. The honey doesn't work. The Prophet ﷺ said to him, your stomach lies. Eat the honey. Your stomach is a liar. Eat the honey. Because honey is a purifier. And the kuffar will tell you that honey is not good for infants. This is a lie. This is a lie. Not only is honey a protector, it's a natural antibacterial. It fights toxins and diseases and bacteria in your body. Honey is also used on the outside of your body. If you ever get a bad burn on your arm, on your leg, or anywhere in your body, take some natural honey, put it on the burn, it will go right away. Yes, if you eat some honey, if you can't go to sleep, eat some honey. We're not talking about the processed honey. We're talking about natural, raw, organic honey. If you eat it and you go to bed at night, it'll calm your nerves. It's like a light-colored honey. And you still see the comb in it and the wax in it. These, they have one from Baltimore, Maryland called Really Raw Honey. It's excellent. But the processed one, like Golden Blossom, this is not the real honey. This stuff is processed. You see, it's nothing but sugar. It's not mixed up. But this is honey is something we should mix with the black seed. We should try to use black seed as much as we can. Garlic and onions, all these things. Allah sent these things down for us. And we should utilize them. If we can, stay away from drinking the water out of the faucet. And we're going to come to water, inshallah. Inshallah, next class will be but totally devoted to water. Inshallah. And juices. Inshallah ta'ala. We didn't mention honeydew melons. We mentioned watermelon. And we didn't mention cantaloupe. But these things, all these things have some benefit. And I'm sorry that we didn't have something to present for that. You know. But if we check, we can find that all of these fruits and vegetables have some benefit. We're even finding out now, not we, but the scientists are finding out just in the past few years, that the rind of the orange has as much benefit or maybe more benefit than the orange itself inside. That the rind, if you chew the rind. And that's why those people who have a juicer, when you juice, you should keep the pulp. Take that pulp, you can make popsicles for your children. Natural popsicles. You can learn how to, they have books to show you how to freeze them. In many cases, the book that comes with the juicer will show you how to use the pulp. And you can sprinkle it on your food, the pulp from the vegetables and fruits. You can sprinkle on your food and use it on the side also. There's a lot of things that we can do, you know, to help our health, inshallah. Now, and the peeling from the orange. Yeah, he's also saying, take when you peel the orange, you can take that and take the peels and you put making in the cakes and the porridges and things like this. This is something that is very, very beneficial. Now, that's right. The seeds from the prunes, the seeds from the dates, that the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum ajma'een, used to share dates. One or two dates, that's all they would have sometimes. They used to travel long distances and fight in jihad and have two dates, and then they used to suck on a date, take one, the companion would take the date out of his mouth, radiallahu anhum ajma'een, take the date out of his mouth and give it to his brother in Islam and let him suck on it. When they finished doing that, they would chew the date stone. They would chew the date stone. And this will give them, you know, whatever they needed. And this is something we throw them away. You can crush this up and you can do something with this. All these things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down. Allahu Akbar. The prune seeds. Yes. And these things. Coconut seeds. All these things. It's something that's benefit for us. And don't ever think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent these things down for nothing. No, everything has benefit in it. Everything has some type of benefit in it. That's right. That's right. Celery will take the smell away from the garlic. But I'd like to mention something that they mentioned here. It says red meat and whole fat dairy products have in common a high fat content and the possibility of bacterial and chemical contamination. It is common knowledge in the 1990s that including little red meat in the diet and using skim or no milk products are healthy practices. In other words, stay away from the meat as much as possible. Stay away from the way they produce the milk today as much as possible. If you can, eat very little red meat, especially beef. And try to drink, if you're going to drink milk, drink organically produced milk, if you can. Because it produces a lot of mucus on our lungs. There's a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that says, Albanu al-baqara shifa wa samnuha dawa' wa luhumuha da'. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the milk of the cow is an antidote. The fat of the cow is a medicine. And the flesh of the cow is an illness. It's an authentic hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Albanu baqara shifa. The milk and the cream from the cow is an antidote. Wasamnuha dawa. And the fat from the cow is a medicine. Wa luhumuha da. And the meat of the cow, beef, is an illness. And when I read the explanation from this in the book called Faidul Qadir by Sheikh Al-Manawi, rahimahullah, of the past, of centuries of old, which is the explanation of the book called Jamir Saghir by Imam As-Suyuti, it says that it was disliked by the people of the past, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba and the Tabi'un, to eat a lot of beef. And today now we're seeing it, especially the way they're raised. Not only is it bad to eat it a lot, and we made a statement about 2 years ago that it was makruh. We don't mean that the eating of the beef is makruh. We didn't mean that when we said this. What we meant is that it's not makruh Islamically, it's disliked in a social way, to eat a lot of beef. That's what we mean by that. Because it has something in it. There's some other narrations, and Allah knows best the authenticity of it. I'm going to check it one day, inshallah. There's some narrations that are attributed to the Prophet, and we don't want to lie on the Messenger of Allah. That's why we keep saying we're not sure of the authenticity of it, because we don't want to just say the Prophet said something, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he didn't say it, or that he did something and he didn't do it. Because whoever says something about the Prophet and he didn't do, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is going to have their seat now on fire. But it's attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I'll check the hadith inshallah, that he said that the meat of the lamb softens your heart and the meat of the cow makes your heart hard. Now, I don't know if this is a statement from the Messenger of Allah or not, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but we do know for a fact, it's been proven, that beef consumption in high quantities has an effect on your blood, has an effect on the arteries, and has an effect on your heart. This is proven without a doubt. This is proven without a doubt. It says 40% of all of the antibiotics produced in our country are fed to animals. 40% of all the antibiotics produced in our country are fed to animals. To do what? To increase their growth and prevent bacterial disease. The continued use of antibiotics increases the risk of breeding super drug resistant bacteria, which may be transmitted from the animal to you. Antibiotics given to cattle, chickens, and sheep can produce serious problems in people. And we already know about the mad cow. Remember about the mad cow a few months ago? Right? These secondary antibiotics, secondary because the animal gets it first and then we get it second by eating its flesh, contribute to what is called candidiasis, and all forms of yeast infections. Over a period of time, antibiotics will destroy the friendly, quote-unquote, bacteria, which are solely needed by the body for protection. People can build up a tolerance to antibiotics, finally reaching a point where they are ineffective. And the Humane Farming Association reports that veal and hogs, which we don't have to worry about, are infected with mutant bacteria requiring lots of antibiotics. They also mentioned that female hormones fed to cattle for growth are possible culprits behind the increases in female disorders like severe hot flashes, painful menses, breast lumps, and even cancer of the uterus and breast. Because of these hormones, premature development in young girls can lead to precocious sexuality and its associated problems. Wallahi! We ride down the street, and you know, in trying to lower my gaze, may Allah protect all the men and the women also, but the men have, I think, a more difficult problem than the women, because the women are more revealed than the men. Wallahi, my wife said, she said, look at these girls. And I said to her, because she's much younger than me, I said, when I was growing up, I'm 44 years old. When I was growing up, these girls didn't look the way they look now. These girls, these young 13, 14, 15-year-old girls, I know for a fact, I can remember like it was yesterday, they didn't look like this. These girls now, their breasts, their hips, their thighs, they're much bigger. They look like big women. And listen to what they're saying. They said that the female hormones fed to the cattle for growth are possible culprits behind the increase in female disorders like severe hot flashes, painful menses, breast lumps, and even cancer of the uterus and breast. And because of these hormones that are being shot in these animals, premature development in young girls can lead to precocious sexuality and its associated problems. The hormones can also cause premature aging and impotence in men. It increases the sexuality in the girls and makes impotence in men. And it's also the chemicals and pesticides found in the foods from the meat of these animals may also be problematic. Fat is connected to both cancer and heart disease. And we can go on and on and on and on and on. So with that, brothers and sisters, inshallah, yes, of course, the fast food restaurants are going to be even worse. And then in addition to this, the raising of the animal, I don't know how many of you, I got rid of my TV about 3 years ago, so I don't look at TV. But when I was looking at TV, they had something on 2020, I think it was 2020 or primetime. They were talking about Food Lion or Lion King or whatever it was. One of these chains of supermarkets around the United States, where they change when the meat is there like 20 and 30 and 40 days, and they change the date, or they wash it in Clorox to get the stinky smell out of it, or you see them dropping it on the floor and putting it back into the pack, and it was on prime time, yeah, all kinds of crazy things they do to the food, urinating on it, urinating on the food, But this is something that's very, very dangerous. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us his afiyah and salama, to give us well-being and safety and security in this life and in the next. And please remember, brothers and sisters, inshallah, what Allah says in his book, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ كُلُوا مِمَّا فِي الْأَرْضِ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ مُبِينٌ. O human beings, eat of the earth that which is halal and good for you, and don't follow the footsteps of shaitan, for surely he is for you an avowed open enemy. Brothers and sisters, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that some of the things that we eat is haram. I think it's clear that some of the things that we're eating is haram. I'm not going to say it's haram. I'm not an alim. But I have no doubt that Muslims shouldn't be drinking Pepsi Cola. I have no doubt in my mind that Muslims shouldn't be drinking, that Muslims should not be drinking Coca-Cola. That if you could stay away from these sodas, brothers and sisters, it would be better for you. I'm not saying it's haram. And there's some people in South Africa, that's right, that says that Pepsi Cola and Coca-Cola has a very small percentage of alcohol. Of alcohol. But brothers and sisters, it's not going to do you any benefit whatsoever. Pepsi Cola going in your kidneys is not going to help you at all, I'm telling you. It's not going to help you. I know it tastes good, but try to substitute that with natural juices and water. Don't give your children Pepsi, especially at night. Especially at night. If you wonder why your children are running around the house like they're in some triathlon, no, you see the kids all hyper? Look at all the sugar you're getting of them. You give them sugar, like the candy has sugar. The cakes have sugar. The sodas have sugar. Everything you give them is candy, sugar in it. And you wonder why they're Speedy Gonzales. We should eat vegetables first if it's possible. We should eat it organic, number one. Second, we should try our best to eat them raw as possible. As raw as possible, or steamed. Steamed. Because when you cook them, even though there's no problem, when you cook them, you bring the it lose the nutrients and the vitamins from the food. It doesn't take all of it out, but you do lose. And you don't want to eat steamed food all the time. You know, you want to have some type of, you can stir fry your vegetables also, it's no problem. But in addition to this, before we get to the brothers, inshallah, and if anything from the sisters, in addition to this, we should try not to use aluminum pots and Teflon-coated pots when we eat. We should use only those pots if we're able to buy them. And of course, if we stop spending our money on some other things, we'll be able to afford these things. Just buy one pot at a time. Buy only stainless steel, brothers and sisters. Stainless steel pots. Don't cook with aluminum. Because the aluminum and the Teflon, eventually the coating of it goes into the food after continuous cooking. It goes into your food and goes into your body. It can cause ptomaine, it can cause all kinds of stuff, botulism, all kinds of stuff. And this is only a reminder, as Allah says, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And remind, because surely the reminding benefits the believers. The sister sent down a note. Please repeat the dua to say at the end of your meals. Please say it slow enough so that I may write it down. You find this in authentic supplications, sister. Authentic supplications by Walid al-Isa. And you can also find it in Supplications of the Night and the Day by Sister Sadiqa Sharafuddin, Rahimahumullah wa Hafizahumullah. May Allah have mercy on both of them and preserve them. Ameen. But I'll say it again, inshallah, slowly in case you don't have the book. I think the book is here, right? Authentic Supplications. Alhamdulillah alladhi ata'amani wa razaqnihi min ghayri حول مني ولا قوة الحمد لله الذي أطعمني ورزقنيه من غير حول مني ولا قوة. This is the authentic supplication of the Prophet, and there's others صلى الله عليه وسلم, but with this one he said, whoever says this after they've eaten, all of their past sins are forgiven. Just by making that dua. Just by making that dua, your past sins are forgiven. And there's another one similar to this. Alhamdulillah alladhi kasani wa razaqnihi min ghayri hawlin minni wa la quwwah. Whoever says this after they put on new clothes, their sins are forgiven. The sister also says, is it true that chewing a black seed is bad for your digestive system? Chewing the black seed, to the best of my knowledge, no. The black seed is a different, there's different ways you can use black seed. Black seed, you can take it and crush it and use it as a powder with water and drink it like that, or you can sprinkle it on your food, or you can take 6 or 7 seeds and sniff it. You can sniff it into your nose, or you can take the oil and sniff it. It doesn't taste good at all. I'm telling you right now, it does not taste good. It's terrible, but it's good for you. You can also take the oil and put it on your body. You know, rashes, makes your beard look nice, makes your hair nice. They also have black seed shampoo. I use that. They have black seed shampoo. They have black seed toothpaste. They have black seed deodorant. All right? And remember what the Prophet ﷺ said about the black seed? It cures all illnesses except death. No, I don't know anything against chewing it. I don't know anything against chewing it, but I know that you have to be careful chewing a lot, like handfuls of black seed, because it can give you constipation. Yeah, it can give you constipation. You're not supposed to use a lot of it. Use a couple of seeds, 6 or 7 seeds. Sprinkle it on your food, on your bread. And this is also something that we, maybe the sister should try to get back to. Baking your own bread. Baking your own bread. Of course, people are going to probably say, I'm fanatical right now. I'm a fanatic. Oh, he's going too far now. I'm just going to go down to the shop right off Pathmark and buy some bread. I don't have time, brother. I'm working. You should try to get back there. Baking your own biscuits. I can't say that caffeine is haram, but for surety, one of the things that one of the people in our time, Hassan al-Banna from Egypt, rahimahullah, he mentions in one of his letters that we should avoid drinking coffee. That we should avoid drinking coffee. It's a stimulant. Yeah. For instance, it definitely alters your. It won't alter you to the point where you'll go out and kill people, you know, but it will alter your senses. It will alter your mental state. It's not extreme, but it does have an altering effect. And you can see how people, when they go on a long trip, they're driving up and down the turnpike, they go stop and get some coffee. You see? There's something that we should try to avoid. You know? It's something that we should try to avoid. And if we could, there's a substitute for coffee. You can go to the health food store and buy something called Roma. It smells and tastes just like coffee, but it's all natural. Called Roma. All natural in the sense that it won't affect your senses. Yeah, and Lipton teas. Some of the teas has caffeine in it too. And please, brothers, I know some brothers like to use yohimbe. African yohimbe. Yohimbe and guarana are high in caffeine. They're high in caffeine content. Alright? Yeah, but it has a crashing effect when it wears off. It has a crashing effect. It has a slight depressing effect the way cocaine does a person. It's similar to that. Now, who's going to say something? Yeah, the brother's saying that if this is true, that shaitan, if the hadith is authentic, that shaitan throws up when we say bismillah after we forgot to say bismillah, that shaitan will be starving. Allah knows best if shaitan is going to starve. But we do know that he throws up, if that hadith is authentic. Now, the brother's asking the question, how do you understand the hadith, one third for food, one third for drink, one third for air? And basically the way that's understood is that you don't eat until you're full. And you don't drink until you're full. And you know when you're full. You know when your stomach gets so bloated when you've ate and you drink so much that you can't even make ruku. Because it has an effect on your worship. You eat so much, you drink so much, you go Allahu Akbar and you end up staying there. You can't even say Sami Allahu Muhammad, you can't even get back up. Yeah, you can't worship Allah. Next thing you know, you pass some gas, you're doing all kinds of things. Really, food is directly connected to worship. No doubt about it, brothers. It's directly connected to worship. See, you eat bad foods, now your eyesight goes. Now you can't read the Quran. You eat bad foods, don't take care of your teeth, don't eat the right foods for your teeth, I mean your gums will be strong. Now you can't recite the Quran properly. You can't make idgham properly. You can't make ikhfa shafawi properly. You won't be able to recite with ghunna because you don't have your teeth anymore. Because you didn't eat properly. You didn't take care of your teeth. No, seriously. Everything is related. You eat improperly, don't get good exercise. Now you can't fight in jihad. You can't defend the Islamic State. They say, some people say carrots is good for your eyesight. There are some people who say this is baseless. Some people say there's no proof whatsoever, like Dr. Robert Mendelson. He says this in a book that he's written called How to Raise a Healthy Child in Spite of Your Doctor. He's one of those anti-modern medicine doctors. He's a pediatrician, but he's against modern medicine. And I remember reading in that book, he said there's no proof whatsoever that carrots strengthens the eyesight. Allah knows best. That's right. That's right, because I know someone personally that used to drink so much carrot juice that the palms of his hands, the soles of his feet, and his skin became orange. He's actually turned orange color. No. So we shouldn't overdo it, because again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna Allah la yuhibbul musrifeen. Allah doesn't love the extravagant and the wasters. They just go overboard. See, now, Brother Dawood said in the class on how to develop the Islamic household, we should eat healthy. You know, next thing you know, you like those fanatical kuffar in the street, and they've gone so far now, they got thousands of pills that they take a month. You know, you just take them pill after pill, vitamin after vitamin, and now you don't even use, you see some kuffar, they go so far now, they won't even use the regular light bulbs now. You go to the health food store now, they got some special type of light bulbs. They won't use regular material because they say the dyes go in their shirt, into their skin. So now they got a certain type of material without dyes in it, in the clothing. And next thing you know, you'll be a hermit living in the mountain somewhere. You know? Yeah. And at the same time, they worship in shaitan. Their bodies are healthy, but they worship in Jesus as the Son of Allah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Drinking urine? No, this is not new. This is not new. This is old. Yeah, people of the past, like Nehru. In Pakistan, India, Indo-Pakistan subcontinent. You know the guy with the Nehru collar comes from? He used to drink 8 ounces of his own urine every day, every morning. 8 ounces of his own urine. But yes, urine does have some healing properties. And you know some of your grandmothers sometimes to take your diaper and wipe the baby's behind to get rid of rashes. And these are one of the things, you know, we weren't going to get into. We weren't going to get into this because we know that urine is najis. So we're not going to promote that. But there are some things that definitely are natural that we can do. We don't have time to go into it. One of the sisters just sent down something. And I think I mentioned it before that cobwebs, if you put cobwebs on an open wound, it'll close up the wound. Take some cobwebs, no, spider webs. Take it and put it on a cut, it'll close that cut up. How much exercise should we engage in? Is it important for us as Muslims to have fit, strong muscles all over our body for men and women? No, it's not that important. It's not important for the man to be looking like Arnold Schwarzenegger and like those women to be looking like Arnold Schwarzenegger. This is a trick from a shaitan. But the person should be healthy. And we should exercise at least 15 minutes a day. And one of the best exercises that anybody can do is not jogging, it's not cycling, it's walking. One of the best exercises you can do is walk. Just get your cardiovascular thing going, you see, and walk with your arms moving, you know, progressed, accelerated manner. This is something that's important for us because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-mu'minu al-qawiyyu khayrun wa ahabbu ila Allah min al-mu'min al-da'if wa fi kulli khayr." Wa fi kulli khayr. That the strong believer is better and more beloved to Allah than the weak believer, but in both of them is good. But Allah loves the strong believer better. This is the strong believer physically and spiritually. Physically and spiritually. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Take one off? Okay. So with that, inshallah, we call the adhan and we'll finish it here. And inshallah, we'll come back next week and we're going to be talking about water. and the benefits of water and the benefits of drinking juices. And inshallah, this will help us develop our homes into Islamic homes, inshallah. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta wahdaka la sharika lak astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.